Your blessing is upon the word and upon us as we share some things from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, aren't you glad you're going to heaven after the heat of this week? I see anybody goes to hell from Texas is crazy. My Jesus. But there's places that are hotter than this, believe it. Praise God. I remember playing golf at Palm Springs. I'm still examining my sanity about that day in the summertime. Man, it was hot, hot, hot. I'm going to back up just a little bit so I have a better view. Could you? Yeah, let's get right about. Will that work? Yeah. All right, so we can have a better view of each one that is here. Well, it's a blessing to be here tonight, and I couldn't help but think of the first meeting we had with Conquerors Club at our home out in the driveway. And we had an open invitation that night. You know, Mark, I don't remember how many people we had, but I mean, there were people all over, up and down the stairway. And I think about it, yeah. And what prompted that meeting was that there were probably two or three divorces that were, divorces never pretty, but I mean, there were some people's lives that were really on the verge of some real tragic stuff. And, you know, even in Christian churches today, even since then, the statistics are not on our side. Not only do you have divorce in the world, you have divorce in the church. And sometimes that can't be avoided. And this is a house of mercy and grace. And when there's nothing, you can't live with somebody who won't live with you. You know, that's. But we just challenged the group that night. And I think it was a bit of a shock when I said, you know, look around here because half of you will be divorced within a certain period of time. Man, it got quiet. And I didn't say that to be ugly. I didn't say that to speak faithless words. But I mean, divorce is ugly. And it hurts you, and hurts kids, and hurts everybody around you. And there's times you can't do anything about it. So there's no condemnation what I share. But that's really where the Conquerors Club came from. Thank God for all the Bible knowledge that we hear from teachers and preachers and ministers of the Word of God. But I believe the Bible is the best manual on marriage available. I don't believe there's a... It's God's information book. It's God's manual on how to make it work. And, you know, happy, healthy marriages build happy churches. Happy, healthy churches. Happy, healthy marriages help build. I mean, that's not all. You have boys and girls and teens and retirement and so on. But really, happy, healthy marriages help build strong churches. Really do, and that is a fact. God gave me, has given me a lot of things, but there's some things that God's given me. There's some things that just like a cannon in the midsection, you know you got hit. You know that God spoke to your heart. And the priorities of life thing, I get into it every once in a while. I've spoken that at Rhema and also at ORU and to all the educators there. God gave me that, but this is one that I know God gave me. And so if it's a rehash for you, you need it. I'll tell you what, in just reviewing the notes this afternoon, it's been a busy week for me. There are other things I was working on, but this I know, and I'm going to stay with what's in my spirit tonight, and I believe God would use it to be a blessing. In John, the second chapter, very quick reading, just two verses there. John, Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That reads very simply. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' new staff was there. They were all there at that wedding. And, of course, that was the occasion where God worked an outstanding miracle. I want to just share with you tonight some steps to a miracle marriage. If you've got the best marriage in this room, it can still be better. And as our marriages go, it affects everything around us, right? Amen. So if you, you know, if I'm not asking for a show of hands, but you just say things are a little rough right now, hey, we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to tell you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And I've pastored long enough to see God do literally the impossible. So let's, you know, the Bible said in Proverbs 18:22, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. How many guys are thankful for your wife? Amen. Voice of Healing evangelist years ago, David Nunn, he said, a man either finds a wife or a thing. I thank God that our wives are treasures and gifts given to us by God. First thing that I would like to just share with you, think about it. The marriage is, I mean, the ceremony is not, it's not even over. Not even over yet, and there's a problem. That's bad, isn't it? I mean, we're not on the honeymoon, we're not on the road, we're not in the air, we're not on the sea. I mean, the wedding's not over, we've got a problem. But the good thing about it, it was a problem that only Jesus could solve. He's a problem solver. And don't you know they were glad that they remembered to invite Jesus and his new staff, the disciples, to come and be on this occasion, because it was a problem that only Jesus could solve. His very first miracle, think about this, his very first miracle was not opening a blind eye, opening a deaf ear, or a lame hand being restored. His first miracle was to help a marriage that had a problem. You say, well, that doesn't seem like a big deal. It was a disgrace back then. They were in trouble, and boy, the word would go out, and what a terrible time. All right, there we are. Number one, know and believe with all of your heart, no marriage is impossible with God. Now, I'm dealing with where you are right now. I'm not saying go to the courthouse and get out papers of what's happened in the past. We're dealing with right now. No marriage is impossible with God. Of course, that's Satan's number one lie. You're the only one that qualifies to be where you are, and your marriage is impossible. Not even God could work your marriage out. But no marriage is impossible with God. You say, well, where do you get some scripture there? Well, I have a lot of scripture I could use to that, but let me just run through the possible and impossibles of Luke chapter 1, verse 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Now, what don't you understand about nothing? Nothing is impossible with God. Some people may seem impossible, but no marriage is impossible with God. Now, most all of you that I know anything about, you have great marriages, but hey, just write this down. I guarantee you, you're going to cross someone's pathway that's going to need everything I'm talking about tonight. It may be next week. It may be tomorrow. It may be next month. But if you could help spare one marriage, it'd be worth hearing something tonight, right? All right. With God, nothing shall be impossible with God. Mark 10:27. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, tiniest seed of all, you can say unto this mountain, move, and nothing shall be impossible. Man, these are powerful promises of God. You can't get around them. There's no wiggle room here. And then there's one more here in Matthew 19:26. But with God, all things are possible. Praise God. You know, nothing is a more shining example to this world than God's grace in a successful, victorious marriage. Amen. I worked a summer job in four public places, and, you know, working around truck driver, not all truck, don't get me wrong, but I mean, Coca-Cola plant. And then I worked at Parker Brown where they loaded carbonic gas, and I believe that was the divorce mill of the world. There's one guy supposed to have had 3 divorces in one summer. I was between school. Those truck drivers come up, all their clothes in their car, park them beside, you know, they were always leaving. You know, I wasn't raised like that. It just shocked me, you know, and it'd come in my blankety blank, you know, but you know, nothing is more of an example to the world than a happy, healthy marriage. Amen. Praise God. And Ephesians 5 talks to us about that divine order. I'm not going to Ephesians 5 for our teaching tonight, but I do reference it, that husbands are to love their wives and wives are to reference their husbands. It's a mutual loving one another. It's a considering one another. It's not a dominating thing. It's just God's way. Praise God. You know, on this impossibility, you know, sometimes I say some things to me, but I never heard you say that before. I can show you a house 2 blocks from Cook's Hospital where there used to be a counseling service. We were married hardly a year and a half. And, you know, God's given us one of the greatest marriages in the entire world. But, I mean, things got rough, and it just seemed like we just couldn't get our stuff together. I mean, you couldn't get tapes and books and stuff like that, like are ready available today. And I remember that Joy and I went there for a counseling session. And after she had her back twice, and she looked me in the eye, she said, you two can't make it. You can't make it. I can show you the house. I drove by the other day. I said, thank God Almighty. Whew. I mean, that's ancient history, but it was real then. You mighty right, it was me real then. And I thought, man, I'm called into the ministry, and the call of God's on my life, and Joy is a precious minister's daughter, and boy, we've got issues that need to be. And it really wasn't that big a deal, but when your heads are hard, you know, it goes on down to your heart. Amen. And it's not who's right, it's what's left sometimes, right? Okay, so that's a personal confession. You said, do you mind? Not if it helps somebody. Because that's so long ago. I just happened to think of it the other day when I drove past. I've driven by there, I don't know how many times. And all of a sudden, bing, there it is. Thank God. They were wrong and God was right. And we reached out to God and reached out to one another. And I can't even hardly remember it. I mean, it's not in my memory bank except to help somebody else with. So when someone says a marriage is impossible, I say, hey, whoa, we were there. Didn't last for long, doesn't take long to last, I'm telling you, but God made the difference. All right, number 2, not only no marriage is impossible with God. See, you have to get past that, or you say, well, don't talk to me, preacher, don't talk to me, Brother Mark, don't. Counselors, don't talk to me. Our marriage is impossible. Leave us alone, okay, and just drive it off a cliff. All right, but if you believe in your heart, I don't understand, I can't see, I can't hear, I don't understand, but some way, somehow, I believe that God can bring us through. Then you're on the road to victory. Amen? Number 2, change begins with me. Now, I've heard this for years. When she changes, I'll change. When he changes, I'll change. And let me tell you the way it works. Change begins with who's willing, who is the most willing to see a marriage work. Change begins. Because you're willing to change before they change. You're willing to adjust your attitude. You're willing to make some changes if needs be, not to do something wrong, but change begins with me. A better marriage starts with me. And you know, here's the truth about it. When I change, other people start changing. You see this on your job, you see it, you know, when I change, others change. And if I don't, she won't. See, that's where a lot of people are. So change starts with the one who wants to see change the most. And you know, the bottom line is we've been married 58 years and we're still in the process of changing. But it's not painful and wrenching, gut-wrenching, and you know, it's just praise God. You know, you live together long enough, you know, she's going to get your toothpaste sooner or later, you know. The greatest revelation we had about marriages years ago was rollers and squeezers. I mean, that was a great revelation. You know, in some marriages, some are rollers, you know. They roll it up real tight. And others are squeezer. Don't waste that toothpaste. Rollers and squeezers. And so we're going to see the lawyer because we can't get our roller and squeezer together. Wow, that's expensive rolling and squeezing, isn't it? Don't be so cheap, just buy an extra tube of toothpaste. That's why they put them in cartridges of two sometimes. Change begins with me. All right. Number three. Remember nothing? No marriage is impossible with God. Change begins with me. Number three. If it comes to it, and it will come to it, if you're married any length of time, repent for your part of conflict. Repent for your part. I didn't say you have to take a whole blame, but just repent. Just say, I repent. None of us are perfect. And Proverbs 28:13 said, whosoever shall confess and forsake his sin shall have mercy. Being ugly and tacky is not righteous. Harsh words aren't righteous. That's not good. Amen. Boy, you're getting quiet on me now. I know I threw the rock in the wrong pack here. All right. Now, repent for your part of the problem. You know, there's a time when all of us just have to suck in and say, all right, I'm sorry. You know, there's some people, I've actually counseled people who said, he or she has never said, I'm sorry, over a number of years. They'll need to say that now, but their marriage is in trouble too. Amen. Repent for your part of the problem. Amen. Praise God. Number four is total forgiveness is a must. You know, Mark, we all wax eloquent on Mark 11, but you know, Mark 25 comes up, Mark 26 comes up. And, you know, the word's very plain that if I don't forgive, God can't forgive me. Hey, smile a little bit now. Come on, relax a little bit now. I know these are hard-hitting points, but this is where lawyers make money. Nobody wins on divorce but the lawyer. My father was an attorney, so I say that. Dad did everything in the world to try to talk him out of it. Total forgiveness is a must. You know, I think of one out of, I could name a file drawer full. I remember a man whose wife was unfaithful. He was a minister. His wife was unfaithful. And she was. And it was a very hurtful, I guess all unfaithfulness is hurtful. But, you know, he said, I can't forgive her. He took her back and they limped along and fussed and fought and wanted they didn't kill each other. They finally settled down, and they've had a good marriage now for quite a few years. But you know, he said, I refuse to forgive. Do you know, she had one affair. He wound up having three. Because the door was opened. Do you see what I mean? He opened the door. I won't forgive. So the devil said, there's a door, and he walked right on through. And those were painful things. I've known a lot of people over the years. Total forgiveness is a must. And it's part of the moving mountains and mountain-moving faith and the word of faith that we all cherish and hold so near and dear. So, no marriage is impossible with God. Change begins with me. Repent for your part of the problem. Total forgiveness is a must. Here's another one that's very important. Pray for your mate daily. Do you pray for your mate? I often say I preach better if you pray for me. Amen. And it's a rare time when I jump out of bed unless I think, oh my goodness, I've overslept. And every once in a while, you know, that can happen. But you know, before I even get out of bed, I'm usually the first one out. I just reach over and lay my hand on Joy and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my wife. And I just thank you that she walks today and every day in the good health of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless Joy in her mind, her body, her spirit. Oh, Father, just reveal yourself today. And bless my wife and let her have a good day. Amen. You know what? It works. It really works. It really works. Pray for your mate daily. Husband for wife, wife for husband. It's so important to do that. Boy, you're quiet tonight. I'm going to hear a shout in the crowd tonight. Amen. All right. Now, here's another one that's so very important. Watch your words. I know we talk about words, but watch your words. I think most of us around this church understand what the Word of God said, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, we've got that aced out for healing and health and prosperity and all that, but you know, that's true about your marriage. There's been many a marriage that was killed by words or wounded by words. Amen. And a wounded spirit, who can bear? So watch your words. And you know, there's something that I've said for years, and I'd shout it from the housetops if I could. Never, just don't ever, never, never say the word divorce. I mean, some people constantly are threatening, well, I'm just going, I'm divorced. Don't say it. That's a devil word. That's a demonic word. That's not a God word. That's not a righteous word. Just don't go there. No matter how mad you are, just go out and whip a tree or do something, Amen. Just don't go there. Watch your words. You can't think and talk divorce and have a happy marriage. It just doesn't work. Go out to your car tonight and put it in drive and then wrap it back to reverse. It doesn't work. You tear your transmission out. You can't go forwards and backwards at the same time. And so it's important to watch our words. Life and death are in the power of words. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. That means she'll cook better, huh? Amen. A man shall eat good. All right. Proverbs 13:3. Never said that before. That's interesting. Proverbs 13:3. It's amazing what you say under the anointing. All right. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. I wrote it out like this. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his wife. Did you ever see these cartoons, with one of these characters, big mouth and teeth, and, everybody's going after it. Well, I had a couple that came in. Well, I'd known them for several years. They came in my office. Man, they were hotter than a radiator on a Model T Ford. I'm telling you, they were mad, steaming. And I finally got them calmed down, and we finally knelt in the floor downtown. We prayed and sought God and prayed in the Spirit for a while and got things calmed down. And I just very calmly said, now look, after I'd counseled a little bit, I said, now speak kind words to each other. I mean, stop this. You're tearing each other apart. Don't do that. Well, where my office is, there were four windows and I could see right out where their car. They walked right out of my office, got in the car, and it looked like all I could see is mouth and teeth. And they went off just giving it, And I thought, oh, Jesus, I just wasted 2 hours. All right, moving right along here. A little object lesson there. But watch your words. And, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There's buzzwords in every marriage.
You're just like your mother.
Just don't say it. Just don't say it. It felt so good when you said it, but it felt so bad when she hit you. All right, you shouldn't do that, but let's move right along here. All right. No, really, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a principle of law enforcement. It's a principle of medicine, medics. When things are tense and off the wall, you kind of calm down. You speak softly. You don't get all caught up in the emotion of the moment when someone's just screaming and carrying on and so on. Soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words. You'll never win a word battle. It's never been done. Not on the spot. You're not going to win a word battle. This is a battle that we win in the Spirit, and then it works inside out. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm just telling you, you run certain red lights and you have accidents. Man, I'm amazed at people that just run a blood red light. I think, man, I saw a truck the other day. Someone ran a light. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And we've all done something absent-minded. Thank God it wasn't me that time. But anyway. Oh, here's one. Proverbs 15:23. Somebody said, how'd you get such a good wife? A man hath joy by the words of his mouth. Okay. All right. That's my verse there. All right. Then there's patience. Don't we love patience? Patience. Hebrews 10. What is it? Hebrews 10. 10, 10, 10. Anyway, I've got it here. Hebrews 10. That you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Did I quote it right? I'm not reading directly. I mean, I read it at home. You have need of patience. 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. You have need of patience. Now, here's what, you know, even financially, a lot of times people get all messed up financially, and then they want somebody on a religious radio station or some seminar to tell them how to get out of debt in 24 hours. You dug in, you're going to have to dig out, even with God's help. But there's people without God's help that just don't dig out. There's a way out. I mean, every years ago, a couple of times, you know, we didn't know the things that we knew later on, but, you know, it's easy nowadays to get in debt. And a lot of folks went in debt and had the most wonderful house in the world until money changed and mortgages changed, and then it's another thing. But here's the thing about our marriages. Our marriages demand patience. It takes time. It takes time. But with God's help, thank God we're all changing. It takes patience. You have need of patience. And that's not the only place patience is mentioned. But you have need. It didn't say patience is a good idea. It said you need it. You have need of patience. This is something you need. We have need of patience. Well, I've done the will of... that's what I'm saying. I've done the will of God. Done with the word, but give you and God time to work. I think I said it the way it should be said. You say, well, God, why doesn't God just work up? That's not the way it usually works. Sometimes there can be great miracles. Yeah, and any of it's a miracle. The fact that all of us made it's a miracle in today's society. Amen. But you have need of patience. Have need of patience. Things take time. Give God time to work. Are you getting anything out of this little Bible study? All right, so we know that no marriage is impossible with God. Number two, change begins with me. Thirdly, I repent for my part of the problem. Number four, total forgiveness is a must. Number five, pray for your mate daily. Number six, watch your words. Number seven, patience. Give God and you time to work things out. Now, there's two more that are very, very important at this juncture. And this used to really stump me. I mean, when they got to this point, I just wish we didn't have to go there. But I don't love them anymore. So I got you, preacher. Got you in a corner. Don't love her anymore. You understand? We can't make it because I don't love anymore. I don't love him or I don't love her. You know, every hour, every day of marriage is not honeymoon. It's kind of like a church. There's bill paying times. Man, I was standing up in the kitchen the other day and I'm paying bills. Man, my back began to hurt and my feet got tired. And I standing up, I wanted to go back to the bedroom and go to sleep. Joy beat me in there. But I'm in the kitchen and you know, I wasn't praying in the Spirit. I wasn't singing victory in Jesus. I should have been thanking God I could write a check and pay the bills. You see what I mean? But I used to just be, I mean, this threw me right here. Okay, God, you heard that. He doesn't love her anymore. What are we going to do? Everything works by love, 1 Corinthians 13. Or she doesn't love him or he doesn't love her. What are we going to do? And you know, we've got this thing, well, I fell in love. You know, I've lived long enough. I've lived long enough, and that's one blessing of living over a period of time. I've lived long enough to see some of the roughest marriages that ever came down the turnpike turn out to be some of the most precious and intimate and godly and scriptural marriages that I've ever witnessed. You've heard Pastor Keith Johnson, my brother-in-law wanted to be with the Lord. God changed his life so drastically. And then there was Keith Johnson's brother when I was associate minister. Boy, he was a poster child for him. I mean, he chased women. He gambled. I went in the Star Telegram one day. He worked for the Star Telegram, and I went in there, and he had a cigar in his hand. You're not going to hell smoking a cigar. You just go to heaven quicker. But anyway, I mean, he saw me coming, and I just happened to see that cigar, and he put it in his pocket. Now, I'd like to think that I'm a nice guy, and I'm righteous, and that I do the right thing, and I want to do the right thing, but I knew what was in that pocket. Man, he was squirming. Finally, I saw a little smoke. He said, I got to go to the bathroom, preacher. I shouldn't have done that. Would you please forgive me for doing that? We laughed about that many times through the years. But how many times have I gone by their house? And boy, they had one kid after another. They had about 4 or 5 children. And that's okay if you can take care of them. But I'd go by and he was out gambling. He was out chasing women. And they didn't have enough milk, or the rent wolf was coming around. I mean, it was a mess. And how many times we go by and from the church we'd help them and just keep things together. He made money, but he gambled it away and drank it away and chased women. But you know what? Boy, she loved him. She really loved him. God bless her. She loved him and she stayed with him by the grace of God. But you know what? God saved that man. And I saw a man whose heart had been hard. I saw a womanizer. I saw a gambler. I saw a boozer. I saw a man that was a character become putty in the hands of the potter. And he became was a pastor for many, many years. He went on to be with Jesus here about 3 years ago, I guess. Oh, God. See, I've lived long enough to know that bad things can turn good. And something may be in the pits, but it's not impossible with God. Amen. And I presume everybody here has the happiest marriage on the face of the earth. But if you do, hey, we need to spread the word and help others who are going through conflicts in a world that is just divorce crazy. Amen. So, I don't love them anymore. Well, it may have started. I've seen marriages that started in the soulish realm. It was a sex desire, or it was she's so beautiful, or he's so cool, you know, he's so cute, you know. All those soulish realm reasons. But you know what? By the power of Jesus, they turned out to be great marriages. And some marriages that were so perfect to begin with didn't make it because they didn't trust Jesus. Now, you know, again, I just keep coming back to this. You may have the happy, and I presume everybody's got the happiest marriage in this room. But you know, there are devils out of hell that are on assignment for your marriage. And let me make a statement I made, and an old man got real mad at me when I made this statement a few years ago. I said, you never get too old to make a fool out of yourself. As long as you have body parts, you never get too old. And somebody else has body parts. You never get too old to make a fool out of yourself. I remember Ed Cole. We're talking Frank here tonight, but we've got to talk probably franker than ever before. I was teaching a men's seminar in Honolulu with Ed Cole. I did that twice. Precious man, powerful man of God. And he said, He said, some of you guys, for 5 minutes of pleasure, will throw your life and your testimony away. And this guy at the back of the room just guffawed. And he said, okay, I'll give you 15 minutes, but it'll still ruin your life. Boy, it got quiet. Nobody was laughing from that point on. See, he told the truth. To tell you that there's no fun in sin, that sin doesn't feel good, I'd be lying like a dog. Yeah, for a few moments, it feels good. But, oh, dear God, the price tag. The price tag. The price tag. And, you know, I look at it like, you know, if you just want to be real practical, like you got a 30-year house note, and the last 2 years you get so sick and tired of paying that mortgage company. I'm not paying them another dime. Well, I'm going to tell you what, honey, you better go down to Outdoors Outfitters and get you a good tent. Of course, they're going to come put you in somewhere. Or I've got a 36-month, 48-month note on this car. I am sick and tired of making these payments. I'm not going to make payments. Well, you can dodge them for a while. But the big tow truck's going to find you. There's a tow truck that has a big tow on the back of it. I guess it's still in the... It's kind of funny, but it's sad. It says big tow truck. Shows a foot and a big toe. All right, moving on here. But I don't love them anymore. So you're tired of making car payments? Hey, just don't make them anymore. It's the way we used to travel in Bible school. We'd thumb our way, you know, we'd hitchhike a lot of times where we were going because we didn't have the money to put gas in the car. So I don't love them anymore. Let me tell you something. On the authority of God's word, God can give you a greater love now than you thought you had before. I love my wife more tonight than I've ever loved her before. Amen. She had a little something on her feet. We were working on putting a little special something, lubricate, you know. And I walked in and I saw her and I said, wow, that's a beautiful woman. Praise God. And she says she loves me more than she's ever loved me before. Boy, that's the miracle right there. Yeah. And I'm not playing with words tonight. I am not playing with words tonight. There was a time when a counselor said, you two can't make it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That counselor was proved wrong. Probably in the natural, she had good right to say that. And I've seen situations that I said, except for a miracle of God, I've said everything I know to say. I've done everything I know to do. Anyway, but I don't love them anymore. Hold on. Hold on. Just like you would believe God for your finances, just like you would believe God for your health and your body, just like you'd believe God for some miracle on your job or help that you need, just say, God, please, anoint me to love my wife as Christ loves the church. Boy, you can't top that one. His love cost him everything. Put him on a cross. Cost him everything he had. Praise God. But I don't love them anymore. Okay. It may have started in the soulless realm, but I'll tell you, God can give you a love now stronger than before. One more. Say one more. I'm not going to give you five closings. I'm going to give you one more, okay? This would be, I've added one in the mix here. I usually do eight, but this is number nine. Let me work down to that. Number one, no marriage is impossible with God. Number two, change begins with me. Thirdly, repent for your part of the problem. Number four, total forgiveness is a must. Number five, pray for your mate daily. Number six, watch your words. Patience. Give God and you time to work things out. Number eight, but I don't love them anymore. God can give you a greater love now than you thought you had in the beginning. Whether you did or you didn't, God can do it. Number nine. And this is so important. Do not expect of your companion to be that which only Jesus can be to you. We make poor gods, don't we? Don't expect of your companion to be that which only Jesus can be to you. My wife can't be Jesus to me, and I can't be Jesus to her. There's a time I've got to, on my own, with my own walk and my own. There's too many men that live through their wives, try to live with God through their wives, or it can work vice versa. You need your own personal, individual walk and experience with God. Amen. Don't expect your mate to be that which only Jesus can be in your life. We make poor gods. And you know, the verse that I mixed with that is, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus. You know, in spite of everything I've taught tonight, there's days when things just don't go right. There's days when our companion just doesn't do to suit us, and we don't do to suit them. I mean, you know, it's not on purpose. That's just the way it worked out. And those are days when you just have to get your Bible. You say, I believe God. I believe God. My marriage, outside of my salvation, is the most valuable thing that I have. Thank God for a godly wife. I thank God for a godly woman, a godly wife. She's a good woman. Much better woman than I could ever be as a man. But we're both products of the grace of God. Father, we bow before you tonight. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the word tonight. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus was there, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus' brand new staff was there. And they had a problem that only Jesus could solve. Father, we have, and we probably will have yet on this earth, problems that only you can help us solve. We trust in you with all of our heart. Satan, I command you off of every marriage in this room, off of every marriage in this church, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I command you off of every marriage of every child in Calvary Christian Academy, in the name of Jesus. I command you, back off. And I agree with over 2,000 years ago when Satan's power was broken. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Would you lift your voice with me? Just praise the Lord for a few moments. Sita pakora kashe kato. Ripato rengando remakatara kasai. Yerabo vrikia re seramato rembaya. I break the assignment of any devil out of hell that would come against any marriage in this room or in our church. I break the assignment. No more. Go! In the name of Jesus, let the love of God be shed abroad in every heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You know, we can be so busy working for God. That's why volunteer workers, you know, it just dawned on me the other day. We probably got some volunteer workers around here that don't really get in to hear their pastor preach. And if they get a CD, they don't listen to it because they don't have time. People need to hear what the pastor's saying. You need to hear the word of God. We must stay in contact. And I can't enforce that or make that. But if you're a volunteer, please make sure that you listen to a CD. And so if I'm not preaching on a given Sunday, I'm going to listen to who is. But, you know, I've been pulling out my own CDs lately. And for radio work, we're constantly scanning and checking messages. And, you know, we brought some. Of course, our messages are down to earth and they're practical and they really help people. But we need to hear the Word of God. Don't be so busy singing or working or teaching or sitting or doing whatever you do around here, and you don't get fed. I know the saying used to be, well, you go on the streets, you'll never backslide on the streets. That's a lie out of hell. I lost one of the most valuable workers we ever had in children's work. He's the young man I talked about that came in and God restored his mind, And I mean, his mind was like, James, you remember him? Yeah, had a mind that, boy, he challenged you to keep up with it. He had idea a minute. But you see, he got so busy working and out on the streets and not in regular services. And there was a failure and he fell. He fell. I just got a word today, and there's no way you'd ever connect the dots of what I'm saying right now, because it will never be public knowledge. But a ministry, a Baptist ministry that helped us, not in the ways of the Holy Spirit, but helped us in the ways of what to do with the bus ministry, what to do with the children's ministry. When we began to expand, you know, we were seeking just teach us something. And we traveled out of state, and I know Keith Johnson's church was growing out in West Texas, and there's several of us that just reached out, talked to us. And there was a great church that was built that we learned much from that. The man passed away, went on to be the Lord. His son-in-law took the church. And I just heard today of the most dismal failure, moral failure. I wept on the phone. I said, no, tell me you're not, I'm not hearing right. I hate the devil. He'll destroy me just as quick as he'd destroy you. None of us are exempt from it. Oh, folks, we've got to walk softly before God. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. But when I heard of that, here's a man that pastors thousands of people. And his ministry is shot. And except for the grace of God, God can do anything. But I mean, for right now, boy, there's a lot of brokenhearted people. You know, no matter who you are, somebody's watching your life. Somebody's watching your marriage. Somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching you. Oh, let's be living epistles born. And I hope I didn't shock you. Well, I hope I did shock you. There's a devil that doesn't love all of us, but greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I want to see every one of you make it. That's my business. That's my DNA. I want to see everybody make it. And I've, unfortunately, you know, we had a prison minister who went to prison again. We've had some shocking experiences over these years. And it was the same thing there. He wasn't being fed, and he... It's like Pastor Bill Knott said, when you see a sheep out wandering around by themselves away from the fold, they're in trouble whether they know it or not. We need each other. We need one another. We need the body. We need the fellowship. Well, thank you for the invitation tonight, Brother Mark. And, you know, I believe I'm going to be a better honey. I'm going to be a better husband. No, really, I'm serious. These truths, Andrew Womack, I've taught, it's been a while since I have, but he said, you know, Brother Bob, he said, you taught that twice. You taught it last year. And said, all of a sudden it dawned on me, that's one of the most needed teaching among ministers. I said, he said, that's a great teaching. Well, I consider that a great compliment coming from Brother Andrew Wallen. By the way, he's going with us to Israel this year, Andrew and Jamie, and we have some wonderful things happening. One more prayer. Father, I bless the people here tonight. I bless everyone that's here. Lord, I bless them. What else can I say? You created man, and even after all the stuff, you bless them. Father, I bless the people tonight. And I just say that Pastor Bob Nichols is going to be a better pastor, a better husband, a better shepherd, a better father, a better grandfather, a better great-grandfather because of what I've taught tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Awesome word, Pastor. Man, that is a classic. I just want to give you a nudge. Pick up a copy of that CD for somebody that you know. Some of you have married children, maybe some friends. This might be a good one just to keep in reserve when you have opportunity to minister to somebody who's having some challenges in their marriage. Once again, Pastor.